Thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra, where you can find information on auto insurance, employer and ERISA policies, short and long-term disability, personal injury claims, surveillance, and much, much more. This is your car accident radio channel. Talking About You with Estra's radio show welcomes you. Call the show today at 718-766-4385 with your questions, comments, or car accident experiences. I'm listening to what you have to say about your journey. And you never need to travel this path alone. You can read, watch, or listen with me at any time. Frankly, the quality of care and service with Social Security Disability can run the gamut of excellent to poor, in my opinion. As I've previously stated, it depends on the local office visited, the luck of the draw of whom you speak with when calling the 800 number, and the knowledge about the subject at hand. The Social Security Disability process typically can take up to 3 years to complete unless being reinstated. If other options such as auto insurance settlements, employer's short and long-term disability, or an individual long-term disability policy does the right thing by paying out the claims, most people involved in a collision get through the most difficult part of the car accident, the shock of the situation happening to them, and spends less time worrying about how to survive. Employer coverage can be converted to COBRA, which is an option to pay your own medical insurance through your employer rather than lose it at a time when it's needed most, or preferably selecting Obamacare instead, which is a less costly choice and more options from my perspective, and will help when disability looks probable and job loss inevitable. Social Security Disability, from my review, was not designed as a full support benefit for those becoming disabled. It was created to help supplement lost income for people who unexpectedly become disabled and help them to be able to live at a decent standard of living. Let me say that again. At a decent standard of living. It was supposed to be to supplement what people would be receiving from their jobs or some other source of income. Unfortunately, some private companies see this as an opportunity to take advantage of a federal program, prospectively speaking, when a private company is able to reduce the amount of a policy paid if approved for Social Security disability, it reduces their responsibility at the expense of those who are expecting full assistance, which is their policyholders. Most sick or injured are not in a financial position to absorb this unfair reduction, since paycheck to paycheck in conjunction with 30 years of wage stagnations make both financial ends meeting a struggle for most people. Are these actions taken in order to pay corporate investors more? Personally, I think the number of people who open auto insurance claims results whether denied, paid, or terminated should be available for public view from both public and private companies. In other words, the people who are requesting claims should be documented, and we as consumers should be able to see what these numbers are for these insurance companies. How many years is the average length of time for those who do eventually receive maybe none, a portion, or their full claims from these corporations? And more importantly, a measurement of the pain and suffering imposed on those waiting to receive their benefits. Information should be tracked on what poor and middle class were paid. I need to say that because, to me, this is really the bottom line of a lot of the processes. Information should be tracked on what poor and middle class were paid. Was it a substandard payment accepted to eliminate harassment and intimidation? How many policyholders just gave up due to lack of resources to fight these large corporations, or too sick or injured to follow through? Many disabled now in poverty, lives would be changed if insured civil rights legislation was taken up by Congress in order to put protections in place for those who are most vulnerable to bad faith practices by companies who use them in order to avoid paying out legitimate claims. When I say use them, I'm referring to Social Security Disability. From their perspective, if Social Security Disability denies your claim, then that legitimizes more their ability to do so. But frankly, this is kind of amazing since they believe that their own processes are different from Social Security, so they should not be similar at all. What we do know is that far too many sick, injured, or disabled people depend on Social Security disability as their sole source of income. And until auto insurance and employers do the right things by poor and middle-class policyholders who do not have the resources to fight for rightly requested benefits, this class of people will continue to look to the only public insurance agency where they can have at least a fighting chance of receiving benefits for which they have paid into for this purpose. Know your Social Security disability rights and where to find the answers next time you're asked a question, a request is made, or you need to verify information that you've received. Thank you for joining me for the Social Security Disability Series 1 from Seattle, Washington, USA. Today's Talking About You with ESTRA's Social Security Disability Section 1 series includes the agenda of a short history about Social Security, building a basic understanding, in other words, a foundation for future information, an overview of Title II, the Primary Retirement and Disability Insurance Fund, an overview of Title 16, which is the Supplemental Retirement and Disability Program. The discussions throughout this series will be about the major contents in both Title II, which is where to look for disability insurance, and Title 16 for the disability benefits for people who don't qualify under the rules of Title II but meet disabled standards and low income requirements. Much of the information provided in this series is from the Social Security Administration's website or information. In fact, I've recently noticed more enhancements to their online site. Therefore, you may also want to take a look at the topics that they have outlined there. The United States Treasury manages the Social Security Trust Fund, which includes the Title II insurance program, officially known as Federal Old Age and Survivors Insurance Trust Fund, and Federal Disability Insurance Trust Fund. Now, this is a long way of saying Social Security for Retirement Age and Social Security Disability. Of key importance is recognizing that Title II programs are an insurance fund, meaning the participants paid into them with their own money in case needed because of a disability or at retirement. Therefore, the next time someone brings up getting something for nothing, ask them, do they believe this is when paying their money for premiums to any insurance company? The reasons for insurance are the same for most policyholders, whether for auto, health, disability, life, or retirement. The purpose of these policies is a safety net against unexpected circumstances. Or other instances when Wall Street or politicians bring up the topic of fraud. From my perspective, voter registration fraud and disability frauds are tactics used against people in our society who do not have the resources to defend themselves or protect benefits or settlements that they are due. If these people were as concerned with fraud in our society, from my perspective, they would take on Wall Street. Predatory harassment and intimidation of those sick, injured, or with disabilities should not be singled out in hopes of allowing Social Security funds for Wall Street investors to be used as they please. These resources are set up to protect the 99% in society with few protections today. Therefore, Congress should support insured civil rights legislation to reduce or eliminate bad faith insurance behavior from both public and private carriers. Paying into Social Security for the 99% may be one of the most important things one can do for their future. Did you know that baby boomers not only paid into Social Security for themselves, but also the generation before them? Few generations have given so much to this insurance fund. Has the fund become a hot topic because of the recession brought on by Wall Street? Once ignored and considered not important, now standing front and center. Is the concern really about going bankrupt, or is this a tactic to change the way Social Security uses these resources? Is this a similar tactic as what has been done to the U.S. Postal Service? No other public or private entity has put as much money away for their pension plans. Would they ever ask Wall Street to put away enormous amounts of money which make their bottom lines show losses purposely? Personally, I think not. Therefore, critical thinking when evaluating or reviewing information is important in these circumstances to address how you might be impacted, but also the evaluation of rules or conversations of pros and cons from my perspective. In other words, questions must be asked beyond the first level. Be willing to dig a little deeper to ascertain what's behind the action, rule, or question. Okay, back to the United States Treasury, which is responsible for administering the Social Security funds under Title II, the Old Age Survivor and Disability Insurance, and also Title 16, the Supplemental Disability, which supports low-income applicants, which typically do not qualify again for Title II. However, there are a few exceptions to this. Under Internal Revenue Code authorization, the IRS is responsible for depositing taxes collected, i.e. premiums, into the Social Security funds. Notice those deductions from your paychecks throughout your work history for Social Security. This is how the transfer takes place. This also provides the tracking mechanisms often used to verify wages, taxes due, and the number of months worked and total income in order to assess whether qualifications are met in terms of how long worked and how much was put into Social Security for eligibility. Why is it important to know how eligibility is determined? Because in my opinion, not all local Social Security offices are created equal. And let's not forget personal interactions and conflicts which arise when dealing with personalities, cultural differences, and truly this list is endless as the complications with human interactions occur. As if this was not enough, what if you have a private company trying to get out of paying their fair share? What if they attempt to eliminate a Social Security disability approval in order to save themselves having to pay out short or long-term disability? Is denial in the best interest of public and private insurance companies? How many poor people and middle-class applicants have the resources to take on these giants? So what can these companies do? First, by denying claims. If they are all able to deny claims for individuals, then most people will go under within 6 months, frankly. Living paycheck to paycheck means mortgages go belly up, family needs end up being sacrificed in order to stay indoors. By the end of 6 months, these insurance companies no more sick, injured, or disabled people will have been totally annihilated. This may be a dog-eat-dog world in the insurance industry, whether public or private, but is this what policyholders are told? Are they told Social Security disability will be a safety net in case of disability? That auto insurance will come as a knight in shining armor when involved in a collision? Along with your medical insurance, will you get the health care needed when physical or mental injuries occur? How many people have been dropped from their insurance carrier in their most important time of need? How many auto insurance companies have failed their policyholders and taken them to court, which extended out to 10 years? This isn't what policyholders signed up for at all. Let's not even begin to talk about the surveillance any of these insurance companies will do to harass and intimidate sick, injured, or disabled to keep the money they promised for a rainy day for their customers, and all under the premise of fraud or anything else they can say to instill fear into the people who trusted and relied on their help. Frankly, in my opinion, it is time for a complete restructuring of the entire insurance industry, one which contains insurance civil rights legislation at a federal level. What state has enough resources to keep these multi-billion dollar companies in check, or have too few lobbyists to stop bad behavior tactics against policyholders. Have you gotten a letter from the IRS to support the efforts of these public or private insurance companies to deny a claim? Unfortunately, it's the 1%, not the 99%, where income is a factor. Yet the public or private companies, in my opinion, initiate IRS investigations towards these 99% in an effort to eliminate their own claims opened by policyholders. Are you getting a sense that more goes on in the processing of a claim of public or private companies? So who is involved in this process? Many different corporations play a role in the lives of those seeking only what they have been promised. The Commissioner of Social Security Disability, who, by the way, is the one who makes a decision about escalated cases if not done at the hands of local Social Security office personnel. Supposedly, it's not the same person who made the initial decision, and commissioners have the right not to share information regarding your case, even if it ends up in court. I wonder if this is for their benefit or the injured person's. So we have the Secretary of the Treasury, the Social Security Commissioner, a Board of Trustees, Secretary of Labor, and Secretary of Human and Health Services. Think all the bases are covered with this group? And of course, private corporations are tied into each of these government agencies. How is the sick, injured, or disabled tied in? Only through their need for help. And of course, their premiums. Wherever does the power lie? Would Wall Street have to wait 3 years for help? I suspect not. They don't wait more than 30 days on most occasions. Frankly, the greater distance government programs are from Wall Street, in my opinion, the better. Because the 99% on Main Street tend to face more difficulties whenever Wall Street has something to gain. Congress is also in this mix. In fact, once or twice a year they receive updates on Social Security fund activity. Congress could initiate insured civil rights legislation that would protect sick, injured, or disabled for those on Social Security disability, but also modifications to the ERISA, which allow private corporations not to pay their fair share to employees who have paid into their insurance plans. Wouldn't you think this group of people are able to recognize the need for protection? They know most of their customers only receive income from them and live in poverty. Wouldn't you think it would be in their best interest to help their insurers move from poverty to a decent standard of living, especially after paying premiums to employers, auto or long-term disability insurance companies? How long will they remain silent about the plight of the poor and middle class? Paying into Social Security may be the most important thing you can do for a safety net for most middle-class people. By them being a government agency, at least there are rules in place where there's a chance for receiving a fair shake in the process. Yet, in my opinion, when they work on behalf of Wall Street, the balance of the equation is skewed in favor of these corporations. When you add law enforcement and state attorney generals working with public or private insurance company, along with surveillance against sick and injured, it really puts the Main Street at a disadvantage. Will Social Security allow these companies to hide behind them? Will they jump on the bandwagon against the 99% that now Congress is interested in privatizing Social Security for Wall Street? Will they disregard legitimate claims in order to reduce the number of baby boomers who paid twice as much as any other generation? One could ask, where has the money gone? And what can you do to stand up for yourself if you find yourself on the wrong side of this equation? There are many checks and balances in the process of managing both Social Security funds. Pay attention to Congress's willingness to allow Wall Street to gain access. Be watchful also of Congress' willingness to protect the insureds, meaning policyholders in both public or private insurance plans. Social Security states, quote, Social Security pays disability benefits to you and certain members of your family if you have worked long enough and have medical condition that has prevented you from working or is expected to prevent you from working for at least 12 months or ends in death. And that's end quote. Perhaps the new online Social Security Administration website will create a standard which may help sync the actions and behaviors of local offices. The good news is now individuals can go online and find out the facts for themselves. This will also eliminate some of the confusion of the past, meaning all answers were not necessarily the same. Has it been a communication problem? Cultural issues not addressed? Or perhaps talking with people who are injured may not always be the best time to have that conversation. Yet legal counsel does not always operate in the best interest of a person applying for Social Security benefits. Let's hope this new option will open up a new level of communication which shares in the ways in which these insurance funds can be improved to help those relying on their support. Frankly, perceptions of disabled need to change. Just as with people of color, Ferguson is an excellent example of bringing out issues that have been laid just beneath the surface for generations throughout the United States, but is coming to the forefront with the death of Trayvon Martin. It is my hope that this will also be the case for people injured in car accidents dealing with both public and private insurance companies. In my opinion, this is also a group of people who need insured civil rights protections in order to get fair treatment and fair benefits from all insurance carriers. So let me just take a moment to summarize. The Social Security Commissioner is the head of the agency, and the U.S. Treasury Internal Revenue Service are the ones who collect and distribute from the general fund to Social Security on a regular basis. There's a group of departments who work together to assess the direction of Social Security. I want to make sure that you hear that this is an insurance fund which you paid into on every paycheck. The group who works together includes the Secretary of Treasury, the Social Security Commissioner, the Board of Trustees, Secretary of Labor, Secretary of Health and Human Services, and Congress. In my opinion, this group is heavily influenced by private insurance companies who have the money to lose when policyholders are approved because their liability is also apparent whether they pay out the claims or not. Applications can also for Social Security take up to 3 years for approval or denial. There are more options available today than before. You can apply online at the Social Security website, you can hire an attorney, or you can fill out the paperwork on your own from a local Social Security office. The framework must be viewed not only from a standard procedure perspective, but outside influences that may impact your claim. And we'll get to this in more depth in the next section. Be aware that there may be people who may not be operating in your best of interest, and educating yourself about the rules for applying for Social Security and the impact of employer benefits and auto insurance is important. This Social Security Disability Series will include the experiences of the Social Security process, the impact of Wall Street seeking access to funds, and the impact of SSDI recipients. In other words, the SSDI is just short for Social Security Disability Income. We'll talk about more on the Title II, Primary Retirement, and Disability Insurance, and also how SSDI and ERISA, which is the employer benefits, work together. We'll also mention about Medicare, Obamacare, and COBRA, and also how SSDI, surveillance, law enforcement, and attorney generals work together. We'll mention about SSDI and poverty, disability, and rebuilding a new life and freeing yourself from constraints. Improvements seen over the years in SSDI and where to go from here will also be talked about. What you need to know about applying for SSDI and what to expect after being approved. So as you can see, these are quite a few topics to discover. It seems like it's going to be a very short time. Unless I actually took another month to really go into the detail that I want. This will be enough information that will help you to see what's really going on. It will also give you links to where you can look up some of this information on your own. And we can also have more and more discussions, and we can all grow from learning, not only from my experience, but from the millions of you out there who've also gone through this process. Always remember, there are hundreds of Astro Brand car accident information and support tools at your disposal, and many of them are free to use. You can select Astro's car accident playlist out on YouTube, and it contains 11 free videos which discusses many of the trials and tribulations encountered after a car accident. It also talks about unfair practices of major corporations and how it can make it difficult for policyholders to access legitimate claims. Also out there, we have the 215 car accident daily calendar, which is available for support and encouragement. It's a great gift for you or somebody who's been injured. Maybe add a little flowers to it. There's 215 car accident weekly planner, and that's any time in 215 where you actually get in an accident. You can pick up a copy of the calendar and begin to document your situation in an organized, easy manner. Each and every program, I really want you to know, outcomes do depend on knowledge. If you find yourself dealing with a car accident concern, know that there are many, many topics available. In fact, out on iTunes under Talking About You with Estra, and also at Blog Talk Radio, you'll find 100-plus episodes that can help you while getting through the process. If you have experienced a claim with Social Security disability and you want to share your experiences, make sure to go out on Twitter, hashtag Estra's Radio Show, and share your experiences. One of the things I hope you'll keep in mind is the car accident anthem, quote, "I can get through this. I support insured civil rights. I am up for the battle. I will use what I've learned. I appreciate my gifts. I will take care of me. Car accidents are surprising. Good seasons will come again." Last week's opening discussion for the Social Security Disability Series 1, Section 1 began with the difference between Social Security Title 2 and Title 16. In short, Social Security Title II is the main disability insurance fund for people who qualify in terms of months worked and income made, while Title 16 is a supplemental fund which is based more on income and for those who may or may not qualify for Title II. Also, the team of agencies who work as a functioning body for the concerns regarding these two public insurance funds include the Secretary of State, the Internal Revenue Service, Social Security Administration Commissioner, Board of Trustees, Secretary of Labor, Secretary of Health and Human Services, and Congress. These organizations have been entrusted for the cares and concerns of the retired and disabled. The insurance program has become the safety net for poor and middle-class people. In fact, the investment these individuals have made into this insurance program for many will be the only source of income if becoming disabled, although many of these individuals will have also paid into their employer's disability programs. Knowing the plight of their insured, one would hope these agencies would also be interested in insured civil rights to improve the standard of living of the disabled. Poverty should not be the standard for the sick and injured. Thank you for joining me, Estra, for the Social Security Disability Series 1, Section 2, from Seattle, Washington, USA. Today, Talking About You with Estra's agenda will include applying for Social Security Disability, approvals or denials of the Social Security Disability application, highlights from Title II, and highlights from Title 16. The first look at the application for Social Security Disability can feel overwhelming when not used to seeing pages and pages of information requests. So after realizing it's not as bad as it first appears, do a review of each page and determine what information you have on hand and anything you might need to look for or make requests to another person. The key to remember is that taking your time and filling out it correctly is important. Make sure to allow enough time for good days and bad ones. Developing a time frame of how much you can do each day, if feeling well, will help to make you feel like you've accomplished something on each portion. As when filling out any questionnaire, make sure to ask yourself, why are they asking me this question? What's the purpose? As with anything you do in this process, stick only to the facts. Provide only the information the question is asking. More than likely, any additional information will be requested on another page. If you come across a question that you don't understand or are unsure how to answer, seek the advice either through their online site, that's Social Security's online site, which I've noticed they've added a lot of new information to, or contact the local office. You can always reference where you got the clarification on the question. For example, if the local office was contacted, you can say, John Doe or Jane Doe at SSA Office X helped me to understand what you wanted to know. And this will also help you to recall why you answered the question in such a manner if further clarification is needed. Much of the Social Security disability application is verification on their part, which in today's technological advances means much of the desired information is already at their fingertips. They do request your medical records, work history, and any other information they view as pertinent in making their decision. Many people get their hopes up on the completion and submission, although most don't realize denials are usually what happens upon the first submission. For many, this can be heartbreaking because most are not in their best physical, emotional, or financial position. This indeed can be an additional stressor. Is this more of a political process or discerning efforts to push more people back out in the workforce? One thing is for sure. For most, it is a last option of hope. Most would agree getting up and going to work is a much more rewarding activity than dealing with pain, suffering, medical appointments, and struggling in poverty. Yet one of the best things people can do in this situation is not give up. Don't get too discouraged. Know this is the process, and this process can take up to 3 years. How many people in the United States can hold on for 3 years without income or a job? Very few, in my opinion. But guess what? When things get tough, the tough do get going. Yes, you too will make it through these hardships. What can you do with all this newfound hardship information? Become an advocate. Where else do you see where people are struggling along for 3 years other than when you see applications that impact the middle class and poor? Where else other than with public or private insurance claims can it take so many years to resolve? When the least of us can be treated with such disdain, in my opinion, it says a lot about the current systems in place. Insured civil rights legislation can make a difference for poor and middle class people. These are the ones who suffer the most from this type of action. Why should poor people have to pay out attorney's fees in order to have, hopefully, fair representation in order to receive benefits that are already theirs? Why must they continue to lose money they need because of a trial of bureaucracy? I assure you, it wasn't the poor who made these rules, and Wall Street would never have allowed them to be put in such a position. So what happens if you're not approved? Review the reasons. You do have the right to appeal the decision. In fact, you can receive a hearing in order to have your side of the case brought before a magistrate. Will you need an attorney at this time? That's a decision only you can make. Is it worth giving up a portion of your benefits in order to get them? Shall you go another round on your own? Regardless of the choices made, continue throughout the process. Again, don't give up or end. Remember, you paid into this insurance program, and now you need it. And what if you are approved? Typically, back benefits are received. Many people are encouraged upon approval. Yet, disability is a long road, and a plan in place may alleviate future hardships. Most people receive approximately $1,200 a month, which does not provide enough for most to live on. You may have employers wanting some of this from you, or any other benefit requests. Most people, after this long, hard struggle, think the battle is over. but in actuality, it's only beginning. Therefore, preparing for the future or anticipating problems in these circumstances will go a long way. Many believe that once qualified, that's it. And unfortunately, this is not true. Social Security Disability reviews your case every few years to see if you are still qualified for benefits. Now, isn't that a stressful thought? In the rules, if you are over 50 years of age, however, there is an exemption. Your life does not end with disability. It only changes. Never give up on yourself at any age. Continue to make life improvements. Frankly, life is much better living out your dreams than being subject to the scrutiny of others, even SSDI. No matter how many times you've fallen, continue to get up. There is nothing there for you until you make the decision to keep trying to become the person of your dreams. Will it be easy? Not most times, but worth the effort. Frankly, most people have a hard time getting their head around being disabled. It's a very difficult concept for many to accept. Even some in society attempt to place the sick and injured in a category of second or third class citizens. But what is important is self-perception. We all have strengths and weaknesses, regardless of whether there is a disability. And all of us must find creative ways to overcome whatever hand we've been dealt. In my opinion, when you allow others to label you or decide your value, it makes anyone's journey more difficult. Another available road is to accept where you are at this moment lovingly, meaning giving yourself grace and refuse anything anyone else says to you that isn't of good intentions. See the vision which makes your dreams attainable. Show others in similar predicaments ways to take the high road. Be amazed by what you can accomplish step by step. This step now may mean just getting through each phase of a Social Security disability application and not giving up. So now, what do you do with all that time you have available? Continue to improve your health and living conditions the best way that you can. Will there be lack in life, struggles, happy days? Life just does not stop with injury. There will still be a lot to learn. Choose a team to support you through the process. Make sure to select a Social Security office which treats you with respect and dignity, provides answers that you understand in a professional manner. If you select an attorney, evaluate their reputation and be sure to be comfortable with the relationship. Family, friends, and support groups can also be a great asset through these times. It's important to document appointments, keep copies of all information provided to anyone, and again, state only the facts, whether in writing or in person. Remember, all the people you come into contact with may not be looking out for your best of interests. This includes strangers which you may come into contact with in public or private. Surveillance is also used by the Social Security Administration. Social Security Disability Title II information is available online for review. This is an opportunity for you to read it for yourself, to verify what you are told by anyone, and find information to affirm your case. Sections in Title II you might be interested in are Federal Disability Trust Fund. Following the money in most circumstances is of major importance. From my perspective, it shares the people involved and how the money is being managed. Another topic under Title II is Reductions in Benefit. This typically is unexpected for most insured. If this happens to you, it's important to know what your rights are under this situation. This is another reason to be prepared. A reduction in benefits can be a dry spell, such as when waiting to be approved. Overpayments and underpayments. Communication and understanding goes a long way in the prevention of either one of these categories. Frankly, rules change over the years, and that can be a culprit in the circumstances. It's best to avoid this situation by staying abreast of rules and regulations which change. Be sure that you understand what your rights and responsibilities are. Do your best to resolve the issue. This can also create a dry spell for benefits. Another topic is representation of claimants. Social Security has rules about payments and hiring of attorneys, so you may want to review this information before making a decision. Make sure to take your time and do your homework before signing a contract on the dotted line with an attorney. Also, make sure the firm you hire is legitimate and will work for you and not work against your claim. Another topic is disability determination. This is a very important section of Title II. Understanding how determinations are made and how they apply to your specific condition is critical. Otherwise, how will you know what you're being told is accurate? Always listen and then verify. Next is rehabilitation services. Personally, I've found this to be one of their best services. Many of the counselors have an understanding of the situation most individuals are going through. My only caveat would be if selecting to do a specific program, make sure that it is legitimate and will take you in the direction of your goals. Frankly, in my opinion, there are many programs out there who will take advantage of disabled seeking to improve their lives. Another topic is processing of tax data. Most governmental agencies work closely to build a profile on disabled, and this is certainly true with the Internal Revenue Service and the Social Security Commissioner. Most disabled do not need to hold out any funds for back taxes, but this section can provide additional information. If you continue to have problems in dealing with a specific local Social Security office, move to another one. You are able to go to any office. Request to be transferred, but make sure to gain clarity of the situation. A good Social Security disability attorney may be worth their weight in cost, especially if this may be a long-term relationship for you. As with anyone, always verify information. Your time will be well spent in reviewing Title II Retirement and Disability Insurance Fund. Knowledge in this situation can make a big difference. Title 16 Supplemental Insurance Fund eligibility is based on need versus Title II, which is based on work months and income. The amount of benefits paid out from Title 16 is typically much less than what you would receive under Title II. Yet many of these individuals also have no additional income, and levels of poverty are greater than those under Title II. Resources is another topic there. The level of assets under this program is also limited. In most cases, this applies to individuals who are in dire need of assistance. There's also a section on medical and social services, if approved, that may be a major asset for people who are eligible. Most of the time, these people have very little income or resources to assist themselves. If you have not worked enough in your lifetime or made enough money to qualify for Title II, take a look online under Title 16, the Supplemental Insurance Fund, to see if you'll qualify. Keep your head high and don't stop looking for help until you find it if you're looking under Title 16. Be determined to get up on your feet some way. There's also another section out here that I want to mention, although there's more that you can take a look at. It's the last one is Outreach Program for Children. And any support you can provide for children to make their lives better after a disability is certainly worth the effort. Whether dealing with Social Security disability under Title II or Title 16, it's important to know what they contain, what your rights are, and the benefits that apply to your circumstances. You don't have to become overwhelmed by all the documentation under these titles. Choose what applies to you. If you need help, there are many places to look. You can start at my official Estra Car Accident blog. Not only is it important to know what the rules are, but experiences along with them. You can also look online under these titles under the Social Security Administration. Make sure to look at the links, ensure that they are legitimate because some of them I've noticed aren't necessarily the Social Security Administration. Remember, these titles were created to help poor and middle class people primarily. Too many were falling into horrific life conditions, and if we're not careful, it may be a place where we return. Be active by watching out for changes made by Congress to Social Security, whether for retirement or disability. Recognize the need for insured civil rights legislation by Congress in order for Main Street to receive the benefits these titles were set up to protect, and not allow Wall Street investment to use them as a tool. Only each of us acting on behalf of protection of these resources will remain here for those that are supposed to need them the most. Can Social Security disability stop benefits just as any other insurance carrier? Yes, they can. But there are rules to follow. Is the process always implemented correctly? I should say not. Therefore, check but verify is important in these circumstances. What is the difference between SSDI and private insurance carriers? Laws for justice protect SSDI policyholders, whereas Wall Street intercepts fair and equitable settlements via congressional lobbyists. Thank you for joining me for Social Security Disability Series 1, Section 3, from Seattle, Washington, USA. Today's Talking About You with Estra series agenda includes talking about how far does SSDI money go, Medicare, COBRA, and Obamacare, living outside the United States, and Title 2 and Title 16, where you can read it for yourself. When the average disabled person only receives their SSDI check for approximately $1,200 a month, out of which Medicare insurance, prescription drugs, plus health insurance to cover the cost Medicare doesn't pay, most are starting off with a serious deficit. And who ends up with this $1,200 a month? Wall Street. Most disabled are just an intermediary before the money moves on. Have you noticed the number of senior housing projects popping up all over the country? They look exactly alike and are built as high to help them reach heaven. Can you tell me how seniors will get down all those flights of stairs in case of an emergency? There is little interest in their needs, but just another corporate investment from the government, from my perspective. Do most even have enough food, utilities, or personal amenities? It would be nice to see Wall Street live off $1,200 a month, for perhaps if they had to spend a year living this way, they would reconsider their actions of moving American jobs and investments overseas for more money instead of rebuilding the country who gave their forefathers and foremothers their break, which makes their life comfortable. When you don't take care of your own U.S. family, will anyone else believe you have their interest at heart? And when will that bubble burst? How far would the disabled or those retired be financially without decades of wage stagnations for the profit of Wall Street investors? Less likely to be destined for living in poverty. The way our systems were designed are no longer valid for the days in which we live. Employers no longer consider employees to be the assets for their development. From my perspective, they can easily be replaced by younger, cheaper, or overseas personnel. First, one, our education systems, because we were not future thinking enough to see the impact, at least from a Main Street perspective. And now we have a dumbed down America for the profits of a few. And what about the recession that took away from Main Street and distributed to Wall Street? Has yet to be returned in terms of a decent living condition for the 99%. Frankly, it will only be with each of us deciding to take a stand for equality, not only in words, but in action, to allow fairness and justice to return in some visible sign to make a difference for future generations. Many SSDI recipients do not have the knowledge, skill, or resources to stand for those other ERISA benefits. Why would private employers' standards for disability be different from Social Security disabilities? And why would they be allowed to pay only that 20%, if that? Where are the people who have the power and resources to stand up against injustices for those who do not? One person's problems today may be yours tomorrow. Until we move towards fairness in settlements and benefits for policyholders who sign up with the belief of protection and later find out information in the fine print is there to take it away. it would be interesting to see if people of color and women are denied their benefits more often than their white counterparts. In fact, review what the difference in payouts or denied benefits along these lines would be an interesting comparison. Americans are survivors. Young and old, disabled, still have a lot of fight. Knowledge and experience on how to fight in today's technological, monopolistic trends means retooling how impacts are made. Personally, I believe no matter what is happening in life, we all have something to share. We must do our best to continue to make improvements regardless of current physical or mental conditions. Frankly, if we are upon the earth, there is something for us to do, and we must continue to seek out answers. So take that $1,200 a month and be as creative as possible. Never give up hope and spend time on goals outside of making it through the month. This will help you remember life is more than just survival. Your dreams are still inside of you, ready to be brought forth. Continue to support insured civil rights. This legislation will help public and private policyholders receive fair and equitable benefits by providing protections when claims are filed with insurance carriers. In previous generations, Medicare was a great option for retirees and disabled. Physicians were compassionate and took them as patients not because they would make money, but as a part of contributing to society and helping those most in need. Medical costs were not as high as today, so most received some payment for their time. Then, somehow, physicians lost their place as the most important person in the lives of their patients. Health insurance began making the decisions who would receive medical services and who would not. Medicare, which is a public insurance company, by the way, decided the cost they would pay physicians today is not competitive with what it costs to deliver the services. Therefore, their refusal, that's the physicians, to accept Medicare patients have left many disabled without the care they need. On the other hand, employees at the beginning of their disability and choosing COBRA, which is an employer insurance benefit now paid by the policyholder, will quickly get injured into the poorhouse if trouble is not already knocking at their door, due to the expenses when leaving the workforce and no future wages on the horizon. Expensive health care costs, especially when needing them most, leave many people going without care in order to survive. For most, it's more practical to sign up for Obamacare due to cost and restrictions on insurance carriers' actions against policyholders. Frankly, this is a start for insured civil rights legislation, although it does not go far enough from my perspective. At least there is some accountability for insurance companies. Now, only in the start of the second year, these carriers are already raising rates by 15% to 20%, especially after making significant profits last year. This is only one example why policyholder protections are needed through the industry. Healthcare is not the only sector of insurance who do what is important for investors and not necessarily policyholders. Frankly, power should be returned to policyholders, not insurance companies or physicians. When the injured are the ones making decisions regarding their care, and it's not dependent on whether insurance companies can decide what is best for them or a physician making their choice, in my opinion, a more equitable and fair system emerges. As citizens, we cannot fall asleep on the matters that are currently affecting America. Otherwise, without action and input, the U.S. you've grown up and love may end up being sold out to other countries, and the American dream may be going out of existence for Main Street. Keep your eyes on Congress. Most of the legislation they are currently working on do nothing for Main Street. Be watchful of their actions dealing with Social Security disability insurance funds. It matters what they change and how it will impact all of us. Many Americans live outside the United States without any consideration about their income being stopped. This is not true for people receiving SSDI. You are able to visit for a period of time but must return at least for a short period. For many, having only $1,200 a month to live on, being able to look globally at a location where you could live at least at middle class levels, in my opinion, would be a tremendous improvement for the disabled who are now relegated to poverty. Surveillance by Social Security may happen more than the injured realize. In fact, they may employ many of the same people that private insurance carriers use. The Social Security Administration works with Office of Inspector General under the Cooperative Disability Investigation Group known as CDI, with state and local police, along with local Social Security offices. This is why it's important to select an SSA office which respects the disabled, are open and honest in their assessment of claims, and do not take advantage of poor people with limited knowledge or skills. After the recession, this task force has grown from 10 to 25 offices nationally so far. And who is behind this initiative? It will be interesting to see its place in history. We certainly haven't seen this type of crackdown on Wall Street, even though they are the reason for the latest recession. And let's not forget Congress's participation. Frankly, by reading Title II and Title 16 for yourself, you are less inclined to allow others to take advantage of you. For example, if at some point SSDI benefits are taken away and an SSA employee says, "Just sign here on the bottom line and we'll restore your benefits," think twice about what they are attempting to do. Having no income for months typically is destructive for most people who are disabled. In fact, I'm sure a lot of them don't survive it, and this is intentional. And unfortunately, SSA employees are not being honest with you of their motives in these kind of cases. Most people in this situation are already having enough difficulties in life. Troubles with public insurance carriers in some cases can be contributed to private insurance not wanting to pay out their fair share. Harassment is used in such instances in hopes of getting injured to release claims. Many of these people hired by insurance carriers to perform intimidation tactics work at second jobs where disabled tend to frequent. In some locations, they do not necessarily need the entire organization, although in some cases this might be probable. If individuals are employed where you bank, who you receive your mail from, restaurants you frequent, casinos you go to, grocery stores where you shop, where you purchase clothing, where medical services are received, and yes, this list is endless. If these types of things are being done to you, I suspect it is happening to many other policyholders. The key is being aware that today's insurance carriers, whether public or private, are not always looking out for the policyholder, and therefore, you must look out for yourself and others, too. When information about the treatment of people injured in collision is shared, this creates an awareness and a willingness for people to get involved in taking action on insured civil rights legislation being approved. As I've said before, when Main Street is treated like Wall Street, we will have come a long way towards equality for all. Therefore, be aware that surveillance by Social Security disability does occur. Does this mean to change who you are? In my opinion, absolutely not. Be who you are and continue to improve the only life which you have been given. It takes a great deal to be approved by this agency, and you've gone through a lot to get there. So why the scrutiny now? Does this create savings for Wall Street? Wall Street should not be running a program designed for Main Street. Frankly, the goals for Wall Street do not meet the needs for Main Street. Perceptions are not the same in most cases. Isn't it amazing that now Wall Street wants to throw Main Street under the bus? They seek to take away benefits from the poorest and needy. And why would Social Security Administration help them? It's each person's responsibility to stand up for the rights and benefits many in past generations have fought for. It should be the 99%'s goal to improve and strive to make Social Security disability better for those who come after us. There is no time to sleep. Otherwise, programs will fall by the wayside and become like many government contracts, which go to Wall Street. If considering visiting outside the United States, learn about any Social Security disability restrictions. And remember, fighting for change in policies is an option. Advocacy is one of the greatest rights we still have in the United States. Learning rights under Title II and Title 16 for yourself means basic knowledge about rights cannot easily be manipulated by anyone. Calling the person out and being able to say you know that that's not in Title II or ask them to show you where it is will provide protections and advocacy for you. One thing is for sure, the key is to stand up for rights and benefits. This will also help others in similar positions. In my opinion, Social Security disability benefits are under attack due to economic conditions. Using an online search engine to find Title II Social Security Administration or Title 16 Social Security Administration will provide helpful and legitimate links. Make sure that you are looking at one of their links, though. That's really important. Also, make sure to go out to Estra's Car Accident blog. You'll find several articles out there on Social Security. Personally, you'll find experience and knowledge there together. I, Estra, personally realize outcomes depend on knowledge. You can read, listen, or watch topics, which will help you make more informed decisions. And you are always welcome at legitimate Estra site. Thank you for listening today, because it is only with your continued knowledge about the insurance industry, self-insured employer insurance programs, long-term disability, and our topic today of Social Security disability, can we make a difference in creating insured civil rights laws and legislations which can make this more fair and equitable for policyholders. I also want to thank Audacity, InternetArchives.org, and the song Midnight Run by OK. Only with your support can we demonstrate the experiences of people involved in traffic collisions. So be sure to take 3 minutes and tell us about how you've been affected. Take a moment to take the Social Security survey. Let's meet back here next Monday, which is our new day and our new time at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. No matter what you're going through, keep your head up and never give up.